Where did you go? Gonna... Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie.
I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
This is not a test. 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 This is not a test.
Today, as you probably know, would have been tax day, April 15th, but we got a three-month extension. Basically, the government is hoping that by mid-July, everyone will have received their stimulus checks and can turn around and send them right back to the IRS. Some people have already received their relief money via direct deposit, but those who are waiting for an actual check are going to have to wait because, according to the Washington Post, the checks are delayed because someone decided he wanted to print Donald Trump's name on them. Gee, I wonder whose idea that was. This is the first time a president has ever had his name printed on a government check, ever. Which is in totally delaying the delivery of relief checks so they could put your name on them might be the Trumpiest thing Trump has ever done. Why on earth would he put his name on these? They're not from him. It's not his money. He didn't even put his name on the check he sent Stormy Daniels. These dollars are tax dollars we pay. As far as I know, he doesn't even pay taxes. Certainly hasn't produced any evidence of it. He's like a drug lord giving the villagers cash on Christmas so they look the other way the rest of the year.
The United States Treasury proudly presents the Donald J. Trump commemorative coronavirus check. Each check is emblazoned with Donald Trump's actual signature and features a dramatic image of the president punching the virus in the face. Each check is lovingly dated April 1st. In memory of the date, the president assured us this crisis would miraculously go away. So commemorate everything the president didn't do. Order your coronavirus check signed by Donald Trump today. Please allow 8 to 10 weeks for delivery or longer if his hand cramps up.
In the last month alone, 22 million Americans have been laid off. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is not one of them. Yesterday, the president held another coronavirus blame and shout, and he shared some good news.
The data suggests that nationwide we have passed the peak on new cases. Hopefully that will continue and we will continue to make great progress. These encouraging developments have put us in a very strong position to finalize guidelines for states on reopening the country. Some of the states can actually open up before the deadline of May 1st.
There are some signs that this move might be a tad premature because all the experts agree there needs to be extensive coronavirus testing before people can return to work, and estimates of how many tests we'll need range from a low of 750,000 tests per week up to 22 million tests per day. Now, that kind of widespread testing just isn't available yet. The total for the country since the epidemic started is only 3.1 million. To put that into perspective, in the first 10 days on Netflix, 34 million people watched Tiger King. So without the testing, Trump saying that he knows we passed the peak is a little premature. I mean, you don't hear a fire chief saying, look, I'm just eyeballing this one, but I don't see as many flames shooting out your window as before. So I'd say everybody back in the house. Come on, let's go. Sleep tight. But last week, Trump said he didn't think testing was necessary.
You don't need testing there.
You know, where you have a state with a small number of cases, some states with almost none. So when you have that, you don't need testing. You don't have to test every person in the state of Iowa, as an example. You don't have to test every single person to say, let's open up and let's get the tractors moving and let's get the corn and let's open up all of the different things they do in that great state.
Clearly, Donald Trump has a deep knowledge of Iowa. All the different things they do, corn, tractor, pig. The pig says oink. I'm hearing that from a lot of pigs. I met a farmer down in Iowa named McDonald, old guy, you'd like him. He says we've done enough testing with the test here, a test there a test, there a test, everywhere a test. Now, to help the president reopen the country on Tuesday, Trump named 200 corporations and industry leaders, which he dubbed the Great American Economic Revival Industry Groups, a name chosen by Chief White House Health Advisor Dr. Fridge Magnets. Now, creating a special council to get the economy going sounds good. There's only one problem. He did it without telling the members of the council that they were on it. Why start asking for consent now? In fact, many of the listed names and companies on the council did not learn of their new advisory roles until the president read their names on live TV. So, to be safe, we all need to treat this economic council like the virus itself. Just assume you're on it until we can develop a reliable Corona Council test. You don't want to know where they're going to put the swab, because it's where he's yanking out the names. Trump's been having a blast at his briefings, but it turns out he initially had a totally different idea for how to connect with the American people. Early on in the crisis, Donald Trump wanted to start a White House talk radio show. Apparently, Trump emphasized that the show would need to be at least 2 hours a day, every day. Could we just lock him in a soundproof room for 2 hours a day and tell him he's on the radio? Sir, your ratings are great. Just take our word for it. Now, we'll fight the virus. You keep screaming into the hairbrush. Of course, talking to the American people through a crisis over the radio isn't a new idea. FDR had his famous fireside chats, and he was a lot more like Trump than you'd think.
My fellow Americans, war has engulfed the Pacific, but you're going to see the fighting go down to zero by April, like a miracle. For guidance during these difficult times, we now turn to the My Pillow guy's grandfather, Jiminy Pillow. Now offer a frisky frolic in warm springs with Salty Sue and the Ziegfeld Good Time Gals. Baba Booey!
So this evening I'm in a very strong mood, a very happy mood, okay? Because we've a lot to be positive about. Because today was a great day, a very important, sort of significant even, significant day. In my strong presidency, I'm wearing the white MAGA hat because, you know what they say, like on a special occasion for like a new event, you know, like a, you know, virgin bride or teenager going to their first Epstein party with me. You got to wear white on the special occasions. And today I was declared the ventilator king. And it's not in dispute. You can't. It's a fact. I have so many ventilators, like an incredible amount of ventilators. And we've done so strongly that I, of course, the fake news didn't like that I was calling myself the ventilator king, but it's the truth. I made that statement. I was sitting behind the Resolute desk. It's a very strong piece of furniture that, like, a lot of history, great history, a lot of our history, to be honest. And I realized I have so many ventilators that I have to be the ventilator king, an angry Andrew, that's what we call him in New York. And he's been very angry because I think he's embarrassed because he, you know, remember when he said we need 40 trillion ventilators and he needed 20 and we gave him the 20. We gave him the 20 happily because we're, you know, it's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's doing the right thing. And we love that. We want to do the right thing. And we have done the right thing, but he was wrong. And you know what? I've been wrong too. I remember in 2016, I thought I was going to win like a very small victory over Crooked Hillary. And it turns out I was wrong. It was a very big and sort of amazing victory. So I was wrong there. I underestimated how greatly I would do. So, but to be angry and embarrassed is like so nasty by Angry Andrew. So I hope he can be nice and realize that I'm the ventilator king. And world leaders, they're so impressed now. They say, sir, you have, I love the sir. We used to not respect you as a country. You were so weak on ventilators, but because of you, we were amazed. And that's why I want a Netflix series called The Ventilator King.
But it's my destiny to be the king of pain.
Since before Trump was even considered a serious candidate for president, it's always been clear that he's worshipped authoritarians and sought to emulate them. For one thing, those are the world leaders he gets along with best. For example, he's repeatedly heaped praise on Chinese President Xi Jinping, including during the coronavirus outbreak. Trump tweeted, China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus, and China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. Trump wants us to forget all that now because he thinks our brains are like his, but they're not. Most of us can form and retain memories, while Trump has the memory of a goldfish who smokes weed. Trump has claimed many times that Article 2 of the Constitution, which outlines the powers of the presidency, allows him to do literally whatever he wants, even though it obviously does not.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
I have an Article 2 is how a cabbie from Queens would say it while fighting with a traffic cop. Come on, you can't give me a ticket for parking here. I got an Article 2 that tells me I can do whatever I want. Some people were still holding out hope that when got serious, Trump would get serious, when in reality, it was clear he would just be. And sure enough, as recently as Monday, he was insisting once again that as president, he had absolute power and could unilaterally order every state in the country to lift their stay-at-home orders and reopen their economies as early as May 1st.
There's a debate over what authority you have to order the country reopened. What authority do you
have? Well, I have the ultimate authority. I have the absolute right to do if I want to. When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do, which is very powerful.
Talk about a meaningless statement. The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do. It's kind of the perfect zero information sentence. It's like saying, hey, I gotta be me. Yeah, okay, but who are you, though? The wannabe dictator who's best friends with Kim Jong-un, or the cherubic mascot for Love Handles Golf Resort and Spa? Governors across the country and the political spectrum, from California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, to Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, have been skeptical that the country can just magically reopen by the end of the month without mass testing and contact tracing to track the spread and isolate cases. And yet, in his daily Rose Garden campaign rally on Wednesday night, Trump insisted that governors are actually excited to just open back up as soon as possible.
We'll also be speaking to America's governors tomorrow, and then we'll be announcing exactly what's happening. You already know we'll be opening up states, some states much sooner than others. And we think some of the states can actually open up before the deadline of May 1st. And I think that that will be a very exciting time indeed. Governors are looking forward. They're chomping at the bit to get going.
Nobody's chomping at the bit just yet. I'm still wiping down every piece of mail like the return address says Chernobyl. What do you even mean by opening up anyway? You can't make people go out. You're going to have federal agents knock on people's doors and force them to go to the Olive Garden? That's right. Pass the breadsticks around. Everybody touch the basket. Everybody touch the basket. You just can't make people go to restaurants or stores because you want them to. In fact, a new poll published by Politico this week found that more than 8 in 10 voters, 81%, say Americans should continue to social distance for as long as is needed to curb the spread of coronavirus, even if it means continued damage to the economy. Only 10% say Americans should stop social distancing to stimulate the economy, even if it means increasing the spread of coronavirus. When it comes to reopening the economy, voters want the government to move slowly, not more quickly. And that should be good, because moving slowly is the one thing Trump is good at, both metaphorically and literally. He lumbers around the White House lawn like a retiree spraying crabgrass. Do we have any weed killer? Just give me some Trump vodka. It's the same thing. In fact, that was the ad campaign. Trump vodka. It's also a pesticide. Public health experts are warning us that prematurely reopening things could have deadly consequences, just like waiting to act until it was too late had deadly consequences, and yet Trump is incapable of absorbing that reality. Just take this truly chilling anecdote from the Washington Post. Why don't we let this wash over the country, Trump asked, a question other administration officials say he has raised repeatedly in the Oval Office. Dr. Anthony Fauci initially seemed confused by the term wash over, but became alarmed once he understood what Trump was asking. Mr. President, many people would die, Fauci said. Trump seems intent on repeating all the same mistakes he made at the start of this crisis. For example, Trump has repeatedly bragged about his China travel ban, even though the New York Times reported that 430,000 people have traveled from China to the U.S. since coronavirus surfaced, and that, according to a genetic study, most New York coronavirus cases came from Europe. New research indicates that the coronavirus began to circulate in the New York area by mid-February, weeks before the first confirmed case, and that travelers brought in the virus mainly from Europe, not Asia. So now, Trump and his allies are trying to shift blame for their inaction to China and the World Health Organization. Now, of course, the World Health Organization has its flaws, but Trump is the one who repeatedly praised China for the handling of coronavirus, and a global pandemic is the worst time to suddenly pull funding from the world's leading public health group. And when you hear the Trump team's reasons, you realize they are just incredibly stupid.
But with the World Health Organization, what's happened there is a disgrace. There's something going on. There's something going on that's very bad. It's been going on for a long period of time, and we don't want to be the suckers anymore.
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks. And so you would think the people charged with the World Health Organization facts and figures would be right on top of that.
Oh, my God, you absurd Lady Beavis. COVID-19 is named after the year it was discovered, 2019. There weren't 18 COVIDs before this one. You're confusing it with the Fast and Furious movies. Does she think there's a spinoff called Hobbs and SARS? Although it would explain why, when it comes to putting people in charge of the government, Trump's motto is,
I don't have friends. I got family.
Okay, I take it back. You can do a Trump miniseries now only if Vin Diesel plays him.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
And all of this just reveals the rot of bad faith at the core of the modern GOP. Conservatives never really meant any of that stuff about limited government. As we're seeing now, in fact, Trump himself conveniently changes his mind whenever it suits him, and the whole GOP turns in unison with him like a school of herring. When he wanted to claim absolute power, he insisted that the President calls the shots. But when he was asked about the failures at the federal level to ramp up testing, or when governors were begging him for life-saving equipment like ventilators and protective gear, he said he didn't take responsibility and actually bragged that he wouldn't even call the governors unless they praised him.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that? And when can you guarantee that every single American who needs a test will be able to have a test? What's the date of that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
He calls all the governors. I tell him. I mean, I'm a different type of person. I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him. Don't call the woman in Michigan.
Okay, first of all, she has a name. It's Gretchen Whitmer, and she's a governor. Look, we can't just open the economy up by May 1st. Not only does Trump not have the power to do that, but public health experts are warning that we won't be able to just go back to normal until there's mass testing, contact tracing, and eventually a vaccine. A responsible president would be preparing the nation for that reality. Instead, Trump is once again trying to wave away the crisis. As polls show, people just don't believe him, and that's because
we don't want to be the suckers anymore.
Jared, Don, watch this. I'm gonna prank these losers.
Hello, this is the World Health Organization.
The WHO?
Yes, exactly. How can we help you?
How can WHO help me?
Well, in a lot of ways, you just have to listen to what
Okay.
Why did you wait so long
to warn them?
Who are you with? And why did you not have social distancing until March 16th?
Who are you with?
I'm Weijia Jiang with CBS News.
So, if you look at what I did in terms of cutting off or banning China from coming in.
Chinese nationals. But by the way, not Americans who are also
coming
from
China. Nice and easy. Just relax. I did a ban where I'm closing up the entire country. How many people died?
And that's a fair point.
How many people died in the United States? And yet I closed up the country, and I believe there were no deaths, zero deaths, at the time I closed up the country. Nobody was there. And you should say thank you very much for good judgment.
I
Now, if there's one thing this country is unified about, it's social distancing. On Thursday, even Donald Trump encouraged social distancing and the next day tweeted in support of the protests. Liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, and liberate Virginia, and save your great Second Amendment. It is under siege. Ah, yes. The Second Amendment is so important right now because if you run out of Lysol, you can just shoot your groceries. To be clear, Trump is encouraging his followers to protest his own recommendations. That's how much he needs to hear a chanting mob. He's like angry Tinkerbell. Quick, kids, scream, lock her up, or I'll die. Trump said a lot of other dumb stuff at his daily screamers this weekend, but Trump spent most of the time focused on the real hero, him.
In fact, and I appreciate it very much, the Wall Street Journal wrote a fantastic piece, a highly respected gentleman, Christopher DeMuth. And this piece was just in the Wall Street Journal, weekend edition. And Trump rewrites the book on emergencies. He has vivified the American way in action. Once it was reluctantly aroused. It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
A reporter pressed Trump on why he was spending so much time praising himself.
More than 22 million Americans are currently unemployed as a result of this. Today we hit the grim milestone of more than 40,000 Americans now having died from the coronavirus. Can you explain then why you come out here and you are reading clips and showing clips of praise for you and for your administration? Is this really the time for self-congratulations?
Well, I will tell you this. What I'm doing is I'm standing up for the men and women that have done such an incredible job. Not for me, for the men and women. These people are right now in hospitals. It's dangerous. It's going to a battlefield. And I want these people, I want you.
It wasn't about
I want you
workers,
in the.
Sir,
yeah,
it's about
all
doctors.
About that. It's
about
not about me.
Administration.
No, nothing's about me.
Look, there's never been a president who makes it less about me than me. Honestly, I don't get enough credit for making this not about me. I should get a medal that says, most about not me.
I interviewed someone who said that his family got sick, and they said mainly because the president wasn't taking it seriously. He said, if the president had had a mask on, if he was saying we should stay home, then I would have stayed home.
Well,
do you feel like, or are you concerned that downplaying the virus maybe got some people sick?
And a lot of people love Trump, right? A lot of people love me. You see him all the time, right? I guess I'm here for a reason, you know? To the best of my knowledge, I won, and I think we're going to win again.
Trump was up bright and early this morning to remind us that there is an eye in pandemic, and he's it. He tweeted, I've had great ratings my whole life. There's nothing unusual about that for me. The White House news conference ratings are through the roof. Monday Night Football, Bachelor finale, New York Times, but I don't care about that. I care about going around the fake news to the people. Right. Only Donald Trump would say he doesn't care about ratings while bragging about his ratings. But it wasn't all lashing out. In fairness, Trump did try to lift spirits yesterday and actually told a pretty funny joke.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I think right behind you, I promised. I cannot tell a lie. So we'll get you next, okay?
It's a good one. And guess what? He didn't get her next. He went to someone else. And then, moments later, he lied again.
We held rallies in February and in March, and there are some Americans.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about rallies. I really don't know about rallies. I know one thing.
In February.
I haven't left the White House in months, except for a brief moment to give a wonderful ship the comfort.
You held a rally in March.
I don't know. Did I hold a rally? I'm sorry. I hold a rally. Did I hold a rally?
Did I hold a rally in an enclosed space, even though I now claim to have known it was dangerous at that time? Yes. Do I have an advent calendar counting down the days until I can hold my next one? You bet your dirty mask I do. He held rallies in February and March, and he left the White House four times in March, including a trip to Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago, by the way, laid off 153 workers today, in addition to the 560 laid off at Trump's resort in Miami. Maybe this is why he's so anxious to open for business again. He's getting hurt. This gives you a sense of how things are going at the White House. The president's own coronavirus task force, members of his own team, are reported to be actively ignoring him now. They say the vice poodle, Mike Pence, won't even sniff his butt. which I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they ignore a president who has so many great ideas? Remember when he wanted to nuke the hurricane? You probably think I'm joking, but go ahead and Google that.
Speaking of things we're hoping will end soon, President Trump last night, he tweeted this bombshell at 10 p.m.
In light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's probably the safest thing for the immigrants. Because right now, America is basically a petri dish on the floor of a bus station men's room.
Here's a teaser of my new executive order. Am I really going to ban all immigrants? Will I throw wine in Steve Mnuchin's face and call him a bitch? Gotta tune in to find out. I've had great ratings my whole life. There's nothing unusual about that for me. The White House news conference ratings are through the roof. Monday Night Football.
I have a lot of questions about the president's task force and the mixed messages we've been getting about staying home. So we reached out to the White House, and believe it or not, they connected us with the chief medical advisor to the coronavirus response team, and I am honored to welcome Dr. Anthony Fauci. Hello, Dr. Fauci.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me on this? Hello?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, but I was under the impression I'd be speaking to Dr. Fauci.
Oh, no, no. Dr. Fauci is no longer with us.
What? Why? What?
Well, no, the president respects disagreement, and he respects Dr. Fauci so much that he actually sent him to a big farm upstate where he's free to run around in a field all day with other doctors. I'm the new lead on the coronavirus task force.
And you are?
Oh, Dr. Solomon Zayas.
Dr. Zayas, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get this job?
Oh, family connection. The president's mother, Mary, is my Nana's sister.
Okay, so your mother was his mother's sister, but you're an...
An orangutan, yes.
Wait, so that means Donald Trump is what?
Half, just half. I mean, of course he is. No human would have a fantastic head of orange hair like that.
That actually explains a lot of things. How long before we can leave our homes?
Why? So you can befoul the environment with your fossil fuels, destroy the forests with your insatiable greed, contaminate the oceans with your heaps of plastic detritus, and wage war over imbecilic differences of religion and race.
Yeah, yes.
3 to 6 months.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.